Blog Talk Radio.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Reginald Camper, and we're going to have a Blog Talk Radio show about union officials or anything you would like to get off your chest. Now, I was going to play a recording, but I'm not going to play it right now because I have a friend that's on the line. I'm going to let him have insight because I know he's a very busy person, and his name is Dino Dean. And he has a blog talk of his own, and he's a very good blog talk host, and he's very known to the public. As you know, I'm gonna let him give his own credentials. And I attended his show. He had a very good topic. I didn't weigh in too much with his show, but this is my buddy. I've been knowing for a while, and I respect him highly, very highly. Dino Dean, welcome, Dino Dean.
What's going on, Reggie? Pleasure to be here, brother.
You got it.
And I'm just actually en route somewhere right now, but I definitely wanted to check out your show and chime in with you and see what you had to talk about for the day. What's the subject matter?
You know what? I have an open forum. I played that clip for a purpose. And the purpose was Dino Dean is on Blog Talk Radio. And I want people to check them out. Now, the purpose was this special show was to let people know about this so-called special meeting with the general laborers. I put it on Facebook, and I put it out to the public. So what is so special to have a special meeting with the general laborers? I don't go by the first three, and that means your number if you're a regular caller. So we have Dan here. Dan, you're welcome to the show. And we don't have to talk long, Dan, but I want to put it out to the public of what's going on.
Well, thank you for having me, Reggie. When is the special meeting with General Labors?
They get the application they have. It's on the 14th and the 15th.
Is it after hours?
After work? It's at 3:30. It's at 3:30. It's at 3:30 on Tuesday and Wednesday. So if you get off at 4:30, you cannot make it. Most general laborers work in forestry to get off at sometimes 4:30. So you're screwed.
Mm-hmm. Well, my guess is the meeting is either scaring them to death into voting for them or lying to them saying they're going to abolish the 20-year agreement, which they never will. They instituted it. They were the architects of it. Will Irving and Bob Cianelli, they posted about it. Now they're going to backtrack and say, we're going to change it. That would be an outright lie. I don't believe if there's any general laborers out there, do not believe these guys in power right now. They're going to lie.
I'm running out of ideas. How can we get them or get people to show up, even though it's posted? Get them to show up and just block the doors, like in the old days. Block the doors. How can we do that?
I don't know. Apparently, a lot of laborers aren't interested. Because they're not general laborers, but guess what? As you mentioned on this show, and you mentioned to me with your knowledge about the union, if Rahm Emanuel abolishes career service laborers, they move down to general laborers. These guys don't understand that. they think that's an outright lie. But you know more about it than I do.
And hey, I'll speak about it. According to the agreement, they call it a MOA, a modified agreement. According to the MOA, and it's not in your contract yet, but Bob Cinelli, the smartest man in the room, will put it in your agreement because he already going to retire. He don't work for nobody but himself. So now you got the smartest man in the room, already got him a condo in Florida that he's going to buy or he want to buy. So now the modified agreement is whatever in our contract as a sanitation labor, if it's ever a layoff, they can lay the sanitation labor off. If we want our jobs back, we become general laborers. So if we become general laborers, we can argue to be trained like the general laborers. So, okay, now you can be trained like the general laborers, but you're still only making $19. So general sanitation laborers, open your eyes. I'm out of words. Dan, you want to jump in?
Well, let's not forget Mr. Cinelli is a retired Department of Transportation boss, correct? So he's making about $80,000 a year in pension from the city.
Yeah.
And making 100 plus from the union, and he's been doing that for quite some time. So I'd be surprised if he owns just one condo. He probably owns about 10 of them. But anyhow, as history goes down, as history goes by, you will be on record, and I'll be on record, is alerting the laborers that this is happening when they're out of a job in 5 years. When they come crying to you on your show after they got laid off, your buttons will be light, your calls will be lit up on your, but it'll be too late. So if these guys don't want to do it now, shame on them.
And you know what? And I want to say this to all the laborers that are hearing this, because you know what? I've been getting phone calls off the rack. One, I've been getting phone calls about the general laborers meeting. I've been here 19 years. I have never heard of them having a separate union meeting for general laborers versus sanitation laborers. Dan, you are retired. I'm pretty sure you never heard of two meetings. My point to you, members, the reason they're doing it because they're going to scare the general laborers that you owe us, vote for us, keep us in office. That's $9.2 million a year. We're talking money now. $9.2 million a year. So you talking about keep us in office so we can constantly fuck over other people, but we get our salaries, $83,500 a month within five people. It's ridiculous. What do you have to say about that, Dan?
Yeah, it's excessive, very excessive. But I think general laborers are a little smarter than we give them credit for and the union gives them credit for. Not us, but especially the union. I mean, they're pretty sharp. They know that these guys are evil, the ones I talk to, and they know these guys aren't going to help them. So if they can go in there and the union can try and coax them, you know, and try and change their mind, I don't think it'll work. The union is pulling its straws now. Paul Reed's gaining momentum on his ticket, and they're worried about it.
Hey, you know, and I'm going to say this. I respect Paul Reed, and I'm with Paul Reed. A lot of people ask me, why am I dealing with Paul Reed? Paul Reed is the first person that actually stood up and challenged them. So anybody after Paul Reed are phony. They are phony. Because Paul Reed is the first person that stood up and said, I want to run. I want to change things. So I respect that. And I'm not on Paul Reed's slate. But I respect Paul Reed, and I'm going to support Paul Reed. So I respect that, and I'm going to keep it going. Dan, I'm going to say this to you. Me and you have started a lot of things that we kept the balance of things. The balance that we can keep now is this. We understand that now it's election time. Why our members are scared to participate in an open dialogue.
Oh, yeah. Also, the administration is afraid to talk. They don't want to talk to laborers. These guys are hiding in their offices. How long have we had general laborers? A good 5 years now?
Yeah.
They've never once had a special meeting. Never once. Now they're worried because the same thing might happen as last time when, what's his name, got in? Ron Robinson. Gee, I forgot him already. After I helped campaign for him, he turned his back on us, him and Victor Roa. So they're worried. Victor Roa, this is probably his idea to
Throw Frank Arullo in there, too.
Yeah, so he doesn't want to see what happened when he got in on a reform ticket happen again. They don't want reform. Victor Roa is a big reformer. I remember all the coffees and meetings they had while they were running. Oh, we're going to do this. We're going to retrain the coordinators. We're going to do this. He didn't do a damn thing. Not that he has power to, but he shouldn't have made those claims. So, again, they're scared, and this is how I like it. I like to see these guys squirm. Let them earn some of their money.
And you know what, Dan? I'm guilty. I am guilty because I ran with them guys. But them guys sold me the lie. Them guys sold me that they was going to change the world. I came in. I want to change the world. They got rid of me. James and Ellis used to piss.
Yeah, you didn't make a mistake. You ran on a reform ticket. Ron Robinson was a reformer. He stepped down. Victor Roa was a reformer. When you dangle money in front of all these guys, they're no longer reformers. You're the only true reformer they had. You were doing the job that Skip had. You could have fell right in line and got your husband like Latasha or your wife like Latasha's husband, $100,000 a year job at the city. You didn't do it. You're the only real reformer, okay? So you're not guilty of anything.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing.
Guilty.
Like Swedish techno confusing.
Hold on for a minute, Dan. Fuck. Mistake. That was a mistake. Go ahead, Dan.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing.
Dan,
like
my fault,
Swedish
Dan.
Techno confusing.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Dan.
So you're the only reformer. Victor Roll, Ron Robinson are not reformers. They ran on a reform ticket, but they changed. So a lot of these general laborers weren't around then. Some of them were. So they'll see through it. The general laborers are getting the short end. Any labor, when you let the city write people up for being 1 minute late, 1 minute late from lunch, and harassing them, there's no way these laborers are going to vote for your agenda. Now, they may have these aviation laborers and do-nothing laborers hidden in the woodwork come out to vote for them. But, again, these guys that have it good, they don't give a damn about the guys that are going through hell right now. And shame on them. Shame on the aviation laborers for not taking care of their – for not worrying about their brothers and voting in their brothers' interests. They're getting screwed. So shame on them.
Hey, but you know what, Dan? One thing me and you have to do, we have to go into guerrilla attack mode. We have to walk through the yards, catch them at the lunch breaks, because right now our union – sucking up with Charles Williams put out a memo that if they catch us, give out any information, we can be terminated. So we have to do everything sneak attack. So, Dan, the retirees are going to be a big plus to the election. That's why they're using the general laborers. And, Dan, I need you as well as I need the general laborers, and that's why I thank you for always helping me out. Dan, we got some more callers on the line. I'm going to run it down. I go by your first three. This is an emergency meeting. It's not normally we do. Emergency meeting. So you're welcome to say whatever you want to say, and I won't say your name. So I go by the first three. Let's go to 837.
Hey, Reg, how's everything? Now, I'm just kind of listening. Let me catch up here. All right,
and look, while you catching up, I'm going to speak to Dan again. Dan, isn't
yes.
it amazing that the union never have had Paul Reed once asked them, let's have committees. They said no. But now they having a special meeting for general laborers on the same thing that Paul Reed said, but they not having – there's no such thing of them winning the next union to be in the negotiation for the contract. So why would you do that?
Well, this union will never, ever let anyone, like the drivers union looking for volunteers, this union will never, they don't want anyone to know what goes on in negotiations. When they go to negotiate, they're laughing at us when they walk out. They're laughing at us. They're giving everything away, and they're getting, like Smoke Ellis got a consulting auditing contract. We don't know what else is going on with Bob Cianelli, what he's getting on the side. So we don't know these things. But they're not doing it in the interest of the members, like, you know, the Paul Reed says. They're really not. And they haven't for the last 4 years. You know, you have Will Irving. You have – he's been in there 8 to 12. He's trying to get a pension out of it, but I don't know if he will be able to. Bob Cianelli's been in there since, what, 1996? It's time for him to go, like I was asking Paul Reed. I know he has not a lot – he knows a lot. He has a lot of knowledge. But to make up for that knowledge, I would hire lawyers and let him go because he's evil. He's selling this union out down the tubes.
And you know what? If you notice, the title of the show was Paul Reed, Vote for Him. That's what I put on the show. A reason. I support Paul Reed. The reason I support Paul Reed believes in a union. He don't believe in separation. He don't believe in race. He don't want to separate the races as James Ellis, black versus white, or Bob Cianelli, Italian versus Bridgeport. And that's why I chose my guidelines. What I'm saying to this organization that I talk to, we got to get Paul Reed in. We got to get him in. Dan, I keep everybody's lines open. So if anybody want to say something, they're more welcome. 837, you're more welcome to jump in. Dan, you're more welcome to jump in. 871, you're more welcome to jump in. So I'm speaking on my heart. I've been there, done that. I've been with James Ellis. I've been with Will Irving. I've been with, Ron Robinson. I understand how the game goes, and I believe our best option is Paul Reed. I'm sorry to say it to anybody that don't like me. Paul Reed is our best option. So if anybody want to speak on that, you're more welcome to speak. And I am supporting Paul Reed. And hopefully, I will hope he chooses me to be a part of his team. So let's ride. And Dan, you want anything to say?
No, you can take another caller or, you know, we can move on.
All right. Let's go to 837.
Hey, Reg, how's everything?
Welcome to the show.
I'm still, you know, hey, Reg, it's Paul Reed, sir.
With the
United States.
You know what? Welcome to the show, Mr. Reed. I don't want to cut you off, but Paul Reed, you're getting a raw deal. They sitting out posters of general laborers meeting for 2 days. That is electioneering. So you're getting a raw deal. And it seems like everything you do, they try to find a way to hurt what you're talking about. So welcome to the show. And believe me, I am going to be your adversary of telling everybody you're getting a raw deal. So welcome to the show.
Well, I come in this world fighting, Reg. I'll go out of this world fighting. So, you know, I'm all about labor. I'm all about what's fair for labor. You know, I believe everybody's equal, especially going into this. Again, I guess this is kind of a divide and conquer situation. And it's not something I would do as a business manager. I would definitely speak in front of all the members, not segregate the members like they're doing, holding a special meeting and basically flat out stating in their piece of literature that they've mailed and have put in their and also put in their respective areas that only general laborers are allowed to, you know, I thought we were all members to participate in this meeting. I really truly thought we were all Labor's. I still go by that proud union labor sign that the International endorses and puts out there. Because, I mean, in the end, we only have each other, and then we have the administration. So we need to fight for our laborers.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And not only fight for our laborers, what is it to tell a person that only general laborers? You pay your union dues, but you're not allowed to hear what's going on with the general laborers. Now, Mr. Reed, I sit on the e-board, and I have heard and I have read, if the members of labor sanitation ever be reduced down, they become general laborers. And when I tell sanitation labor, they get upset about it. But if there's ever a major layoff, the sanitation laborers become general laborers. And a lot of them don't know this. So here it is. You're not trained. You don't have no things that's the so-called skilled laborers now. How can we change this?
Well, Reg, again, we're going into negotiations. And again, you know where I stand on that. I'm a firm believer. I don't believe in, you know, pulling the levers behind a magic curtain. I'd rather be out in the front with the men. You know, that's why you have committees, negotiating committees. That's why you take the men from, you know, from their respective work areas, and you put them on there. You let them go through the steps that negotiations are going to go through, for the simple reason. Again, when's going to be the next negotiating? You know, is it going to be 10 years? Is it going to be 5 years? 10 years, most likely. I'm sorry, the Bob Schinellis, the James Ellis's, maybe the Will Irvings won't even be around. I won't be around. You know, there's a chance of that. You know, we're the older generation, and we should be educating our younger generation that's coming in. That's why you absorb them. You bring them in to the, you know, you bring them into these negotiating meetings, and you begin to educate them. Education is everything. We have to think. If we don't plant that seed today, we'll have nothing tomorrow. And, I mean, I'm all about educating the members. I'm all about putting special committees together. I'm all about taking our retirees and making them active within this union. That was the way that I came on. They paved the road to my future, and now I need to protect the road to their future.
I totally agree. Dan, you want to jump in?
These negotiations, you know, I don't know much about it. The union's never told us how it works, you know, so we really don't know. But I would doubt the mayor would offer even a 10-year deal. He wants to privatize in the worst way. And, union negotiators do have their backs against the wall nationwide.
Yeah, I'm going
but when you're show. Giving the mayor whatever he wants with nothing in return negotiated, it's ridiculous.
Dan, I gotta agree with you. I mean, it's a give and take world, and I mean, to be honest with you, everything you guys fought for, we're giving up, okay, and getting nothing in return. And I mean, I don't believe in that statement that our present business manager has made. If you're willing. If you want something, you have to be willing to give up something. I'm not giving up nothing. If anything, they owe us. I mean, when you go back to furlough days, we were the union to step forward and help them. And what did we get in return? $30,000 less and less pay. You know, I mean, again, there was no promise there. There was no protecting the sanitation laborers by stating, okay, Let's blacklined, you know, this stating if 800 sanitation laborers, should we fall under 800 sanitation laborers, we have to hire. I mean, you would have definitely started basically, you know, blacklining things where to protect your laborers, God forbid. Okay, you know, if you're going to give up something, and get more than, you know, it's get more than what you're going to give. You may give something today, but you're going to get three times more tomorrow. you know, and I really, what's the best thing you got to do? You have to go to your members. You got to talk to your members. What you may think is right, they may think is wrong. And again, you have to allow them to vote on it because it's their futures, it's their lives that you're dealing with. So if they feel it's not right, guess what? It's time to go back to the negotiating table to renegotiate because, you know what? I stand with my neighbors, not against them, and I don't think I'm better than them. I think we're all the same.
I totally agree.
Well, another thing, I noticed during the union's always coming out with these Armageddon scenarios. Like now they did a roadshow earlier in the year. They went out to different grids with sanitation. I only know sanitation because I was a sanitation laborer. I don't know what they're doing in aviation or forestry or the Department of Transportation. You would know more about that. But, again, they come out with, oh, we may have to go to a 35-hour work week instead of saying, oh, we're going to hire, you know, we're going to get you guys better health benefits. And it's right away they're taking and taking. It's nothing like you guys are going to get something. You're going to give up something. And to me, that's just ridiculous. My suggestion to them is negotiate with the city to end GPS, the millions of dollars they're spending on GPS, and bring up to scale all the general laborers with that money. The job will still get done, I guarantee it. You don't need GPS for garbage. You need GPS maybe for an ambulance, maybe for police cars, but you don't need it for garbage. It's just a waste of money. But again, the mayor doesn't care about our tax dollars. He just wants to harass laborers until they retire early, quit, or we get privatized. That's his goal, and that's Ray Laureano's goal, who was a bust-out sweeper driver who is now in charge of sanitation, coming down hard on laborers. The guy never worked a day in his life. But yet it's these type of guys that are the worst bosses, the worst leaders in sanitation. And this has got to end, and I hope with a new regime you will – negotiate. You can also negotiate these guys out of office. You know, you can say to the city, hey, let's get rid of all these deputy commissioners, put that money into general laborers, and I guarantee you we'll have better production and better morale, and it will happen. But that'll never happen with the way the city operates.
Hey, Paul, well, before you respond,
yes.
I want to say this, and I do want you to respond to this answer, but we asked you once and we asked you twice. If you do win, which I believe, Reginald Camper, believe you're going to win, can you X all the cancer out of 1001? So you can ask Danny question with that.
Oh, Reggie, that's funny. Definitely, there. That first of all, Reg, we have to have every member come out and vote, okay? And again, I can't have what happened to the past elections. I can't have happen to my election. My word to put out there on the street, I put together the best of the best to represent the members, okay? I have the best legal advisors, okay? And I'm not afraid to say this. I have Hugh Arnold. Hugh Arnold, he wrote contracts for 25 years for our local. Why they chose to take Hugh Arnold out and push him aside, I can't explain that. They would have to explain that. But I can tell you one thing, 95% of this contractual language that we once really reaped the benefits of was written by Hugh Arnold. Now, since they've gone with their new legal advisors, you know, again, you see more pre-dis hearings, you see more suspensions. You know, it's things like this that's definitely, you know, no matter how much we're fighting, we're losing. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I definitely have the ability to run the union. I definitely have the knowledge to run the union. Now it comes down to my members supporting me and putting me there, and then for me to prove my actions to them, which I can promise you, once I'm in there, they will definitely definitely be happy with myself, because for a simple reason, Reg, I'm not going to hide behind a curtain. I am going to put committees together. I am going to fight to get that spot that we lost on our pension board back. And I am going to – my goal is to put a retiree in that spot. Who better yet to fight for pensions than a retiree, for the simple reason it has all of his interest and he's got nothing to lose.
Well said. Well said. Hey, we have a new caller. So I always only say the first three of your numbers. Welcome, 516. Welcome to the show.
Okay. Hey, good evening, everybody. How y'all doing? Good evening, everybody. How y'all doing?
All right. Anything you would like to say or anything you'd like to address as far as the letters or anything, you're more welcome to do it. Or if you have something for I Support Paul Reed for Business Manager over James Ellis, then you can ask Mr. Paul Reed a question.
Yeah, I have a couple. I have a couple things I want to say. I'm glad y'all had a y'all did a show tonight. I was previously looking at one employee who got suspended for 10 days, and he got suspended for low production. Last week on the overtime day, that was brought to my attention by my RCC that we had low production. So what can, Mr. Reed, what can you do to stop that kind of harassment and to stop that kind of really, really getting rid of laborers? Because once you go down that road and you start suspending laborers for low production, what is low production? They told me that I had six, hold on, give me a minute. I had six units by 11 o'clock, but I had 12,000 pounds of garbage on the truck. So if you look at that, that's 2,000 pounds per alley. How can you weigh that? Or how can you determine, especially management, if you didn't do that, if you don't do that kind of work, how can you tell a person that's not enough weight and start suspending people because they either didn't have enough alleys or they didn't have enough weight? And by the way, we had eight bulk stops. And the coordinator told me that I can still be written up for that. So this is the road that they're going down to start getting rid of laborers using low production. The book said nothing about how many alleys, how much weight, and how much time. So now we're getting suspended for that.
Well,
you can respond.
Thank you. First of all, will you show me the word production in our contract? I'd like to see that, because I've read that contract front to back probably 700 times. There's no such word as production in our contract. Long as you're moving, you're productive. Okay? I mean, let's face it. We're going to call an apple an apple. If they catch us at McDonald's, you know, and we're not supposed to be there, we're in trouble. If they catch us, you know, in Burger King, we're not supposed to be there, we're in trouble. But if we're in that alley and we're working from one end to the other, okay, and I've already said this, and maybe let's really look at this. When you're working 10-hour days like you just worked in the past week, and that's quite strenuous for a one man. Now, you're calling your alleys units. Am I correct? Just so we got the phrase right, okay?
Right.
So six alleys, okay. All right, now we had eight bulk stops. Bulk stops, for anyone that does not know this, and I'm from transportation, and I definitely know what bulk stop means. That means it's going to be a large pickup in a designated area. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so now we can't even put a time fashion on that, because most likely it's going to be construction debris. It's going to be, you know, maybe mattresses, whatever the case may be. My question is why wasn't there a citation? Why wasn't there an event report written on this? Why wasn't there some type of activity from the RCC or the ward superintendent? Oh, I forgot. Ward superintendents don't come out nowhere, do they?
Sometimes.
No, they don't. sometimes, okay, so we have, what, 50 ward superintendents? Am I correct?
Right.
Okay. So where are these 50 ward superintendents? Because someone should be writing citations on this. So are they, again, looking at their production, where they're at? Because, well, the way I'm looking at things is if my laborers are working in one alley, six units, packing out 12,000 pounds on a truck, a one-man truck, you know, let's go back. Let's look at the alley. Let's go through the alley. The next week, as a business manager, I hate to say this, if they were claiming that my labor wasn't being productive, I would have to come out and walk the alley with you and see what they're seeing, because I want to see what they consider what's highly productive, moderate productive, and low productive. I'd like to visually see this, because as I've always taught, as long as I'm moving, I'm working, I'm productive. Am I correct?
That is correct.
So, but this, I mean, the thing is,
here's another issue, not to cut you off. So now what they tell us is, look, if you see a bulk stop, call us, and we're going to put a sticker on the door, don't get it, and then if they don't clean it up the next week, then I'll give them a ticket, and then you'll clean it up. But now it been doubled, and first they don't want us on our phones, but only to call you.
All right, here, I got a question about that, okay? I'm a resident, and I pay taxes, and I'm paying for my trash to be picked up now, okay? I put my trash in a plastic bag. I put it in my can. I try to wash out my can for my sanitation labor and everything to try to stop anything, you know, from, you know, maggots or whatever that may be, you know, develop in a can. Try to keep it clean as much as possible because it stops rodents also. So if you're going to pass that up, and I'm a resident, and I see you pass up that stop, I'm going to be upset because I'm a resident. And that's a spot where, again, a rodent problem can start, you know, and that's something we don't want. I mean, why not knock on the door, issue a ticket, clean it up? Isn't that the right way to do that? Come out, take some photographs. You know, again, we're getting revenue now because they have to go to court on Sedgwick in regards to this violation they received. They're going to be fined. So we're going to get paid for that time that you're there. And definitely, if as an RCC or as a ward superintendent, I'm going to document the time. So when I go to court, you know, I'm basically going to say my man hours there were 3 man hours with equipment for an hour, 45 minutes, or whatever the time might be. And I think this is what the fine should be assessed at. You know what? Let's get the city some revenue. These are things we have to do. Don't be – everybody wants to balance the budget off the labor's back. You know what? They want concessions off the labor's back. What other unions are giving concessions? Because I've been here for, you know, going on 24 years, and I've never seen no other union out of the 17 bargaining locals that are out there give concessions. 1001 has. Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me? I can hear you, Paul.
Okay.
I put the phone on mute, and I didn't hear the last part of it because I got a lot going on in the background.
All right, but hey, I can hear you, so you keep going.
Mr. Reed, I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Well, let me say something.
No, what I am saying is, out of the collective bargaining agreement, okay, with the 17 other locals that are involved today, none of them have ever gave concessions. But 1001, why is that? Why are we balancing the budget off the back of labor?
It's a very good question. Ask Bob Gianelli.
Well, the question is we have a weak leadership. That's the question.
Yep. And
that's
Mr.
the
Reed,
answer to that question. Yes, sir.
Mr. Reed, you know, I would love to keep going with you, but we have a lot of callers that I need to address. So, Mr. Reed, is it okay if you stay with us for like a few minutes?
Absolutely. I'll stay here until the cows come home, Reg, because I'm here for the members.
Okay. Now, members, I go by your first three numbers. I got 8 calls here. So if you don't want to speak, you don't have to. But I go by your first three numbers. 671. I'm going by your first three numbers. And welcome to the show. You have Mr. Reed here. He's running for business manager, and I support him. So 671, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Reg. This is Mike Punches, running for president of the United States. My question is why is our local trying to hold a private meeting on Tuesday and Wednesday at 3:30 at 323 South Ashland at our Union Hall? Why are they holding a private meeting for the general laborers only? Why is that?
Now, hey, Mike Fontes, I support you
yes,
as a businessman. As a president, I support you that. But let me say this to you. This is why we need Paul Reed in, because Paul Reed is the one that asked them first to have committees for the negotiation. They made him look like that was stupid. And Paul Reed said it's best for the members to actually know what we want individually. Why are they only going to one department? General Labor's have 300 people. They looking for the election. So I'm going to ask Mr. Reed to respond. But, Mr. Reed, we got 3 people, and they'll wait. But respond to this.
Well, first of all, Reg, our Union Hall is open for all members. All members. If you're in good standings, they cannot refuse you entry into the building. By no means can they refuse you entry. Now, this is being conducted during normal business hours. Again, you're allowed to go to that building during normal business hours. So my advice to the members, if you sit on your asses, you're never going to get the answer. So you need to get up. You need to go to the facility. You need to go there and have them turn you away. Let them turn you away. Because, again, at that point, it's not for the betterment of the members. Again, if you're telling members they can't participate, I'm the type of person, you know what, I may ask members in a meeting to stay behind, but I'll never tell my other members they cannot sit there and observe what's about to be said. The prior administration that was elected in that union, they did the same thing. They would hold special meetings after a meeting, but they never told the other members they could not take part or they had to leave. I never saw anything like that. I don't understand the method behind the madness. The only way I understand this is when you want to do something underhanded. At that point, you want to tell someone one thing and not have someone with experience, have someone with knowledge sit there and oppose what they're stating. Because I don't know what they're going to say. If they're not going to allow us in, they could tell them anything and they're going to believe it, because most of those members have less than 4 years. They don't have the experience. They don't have the knowledge. They're still learning. I still learn today as I go on and do things. This is why I believe in mentoring our laborers and why we should have committees. This is the most important thing in today's movement.
I totally agree. Now, Mr. Reed, give me 3 minutes of your time. I understand we have Dan, we have 516. I know you got questions. We got 671, the president, our new president, because I know he's going to beat the shit out of Nikki because he's way better. And I want to say this. And I'm going to go to this thing, and I want to say this to 617.
He's more open, Reg. He's a more open candidate. He's willing to listen to the members. Just like when the candidates come to us and ask us for things, again, we respond. If you look at our website, you can now text us something. You can text pictures. You can leave answers. We will answer you back. And I promise you, we'll answer you in a timely fashion. We're not gonna try to segregate you, put you off to the side, and say, let me talk to you after the meeting. You answered the question before the membership. You allowed the membership to hear what your directive is and why you're going in that direction. You need to explain your actions at all times to our members. The members pay our salaries. So we need, again, to stand behind someone that's going to fight for you, not someone that's going to, you know, play the wizard behind the magic carpet or magic curtain.
And you know, I want to say one thing to 671. One thing that a lot of people don't know, and Paul Reed do know, you are going to be our president. You have the right to address when we have our meetings. And that's very important because right now, Nicole Hayes put down general labors only and chose 2 days. You will have that right that you choose who comes to the meeting. So it's very important for people to understand the Constitution of the power you will have. And I respect that, and I know you're a righteous person, and I support you. But look, before I want you to respond. I want you to respond, but I want you to hear something before you respond. I was on YouTube, and I heard how we gave $100,000 to Ron Emanuel. And here's the speech. After the speech, you tell me what you think.
We had a lot of speech about privatization, about the desolation of labor. The mayor won. I remember standing outside and I was thinking about all the foreclosures, all the people in my local. I had 1,700 members. They lived on the south and the west and the north side of Chicago, and those homes were going to be foreclosures because of privatization. Then we were faced with managed competition. And we went to our people, laborers, and we challenged them as the mayor had challenged us. And nobody said we could do it. But we beat back privatization, y'all. We beat them back.
Nice.
We beat them back. We started forming a relationship with the mayor's office. And we took on project after project. And I need to also tell you that out of those 1,700 members of mine, our local is largely minority. Over 50% black. And we went to work. We worked with the mayor. And we started getting new projects. We started recapturing work from projects. We started bidding on new work that they had. We became competitive. We started getting the work. The mayor began to trust us. And we've been getting the work ever since.
Nice.
You know what? I play this all the time, but $100,000 was donated to Ron. So, Mr. Reed, I understand that we all have to fall in line with District Council International, but is it possible that we can have more strength to negotiate with District Council International? I'm asking you that, Mr. Reed.
Well, again, we have votes that are basically these votes we vote on at the District Council. So each side's always going to need something, Reg. First of all, I need anybody that's going to we're going to give any type of contributions to. It's got to be ratified before the membership. It's got to be definitely ratified before the membership, and it has to be okayed because this is members' money that we're putting out there. And as we're putting members' monies out there, I definitely want to know. I need something. I don't need a promise. I need something in writing that it's going to be in the best interest for the members. And then we have to go back to the members, and we have to sit down. We have to vote on this and all come to an agreement. You know, and the agreement ain't, you know, 49 yes and 48 no. So the majority is we need a supermajority. And that supermajority is going to have to be every bit of 90% my standards for the simple reason I have to look at my members in the face. I'm not happy with $19.50 an hour. I don't even understand how they came up with that figure. How do you ratify the figure of $19.50? Is that the way they fought back privatization? I mean, reduce the laborer's pay. So, again, if waste management lowers their rate of pay from $28 down to $20 an hour, are they going to come back and tell us we have to go to $10? How are they going to adjust? Go ahead.
Mr. Reed, I'm going to let some callers jump in, but I want to say one thing before I let the callers jump in. What scares me is not only that what you said scares me, 4 years probation, that scares me. What scares me is worth of 65 or 67 with a 3.5 going back into your pension, which you will never get. That scares me. So I support everything you're doing because as a person that's 48 years old and want to retire, I don't see nothing because now we have, as a retiree, you have to pay for your own health care. We're fighting a lot of battles, man, from a lot of fronts, and I believe you can challenge us as a warrior to beat them. You can beat them back. So I'm going to go back to the calls and see what the calls have. If you want to respond, if anything I said, you're more welcome. So let's go to 516. We go to Dan. After Dan, we go up and down the board. 516.
Well, you know, one thing I was thinking about is that we have to still realize as laborers that we still can force them to abide by what we need them to abide by, especially if the mayor is running for another term. We still have the ball in our court. We just have to get those people out of there who's not in our favor and who's not going to help us.
Okay, Reg, can I speak in behalf of what he just said?
Go for it.
All right, first of all, what he said, you have to listen to him, okay? If the laborers want to fight back, okay, when they make a motion on the floor, again, this is why no one ever wants to educate our members, and it's the worst mistake we could ever do is not educate our members. If someone makes a motion and you're not happy with that motion, you stand up and make a motion to his motion not to accept that motion. At that point in time, it has to go to a vote. And as members, this is why we need all members at all times to participate within our local meetings for the simple reason it's not affecting one member, it's affecting all members. So I encourage, I plead all members to please come take part of this union, take part of it, the direction it's going to go in, because you have a voice. This voice can be heard. Things can be changed with your vote. If we would only stop and think for one sec, we would not be in half the situations we're in today, because people like yourself, Reggie, who come forward and speak in behalf of the members, as soon as you're attacked, most people take off the other direction for the simple reason they don't want to be picked on in what fashion you're being. And this is why I stand for members. I guess I'll fight for the underdog. I'll fight for the guy that's, you know, not willing to fight for himself, because in the end, this is going to affect not only my members, my retirees, but the future of this union.
I totally agree with you. And I'm going to say one thing about you, Mr. Reed. For anybody that's listening, and I know 1001 listens to every show we do.
I know they listen to.
And one thing Mr. Reed said, and if anybody was at the meeting, and 516, you was there, Mr. Reed asked them, let's start committees to negotiate the contract in every area. Now you get a letter saying only general labor's come so we can hear what you want to say. That's got to be so odd. And people, open your eyes and see what they're doing to us. This is worse.
Hey, Reg.
Mr. Reed told them. Go ahead.
Reg, our district council, do they have committees?
Yes, they do.
What's the purpose for that committee?
It's to strengthen the union. Yeah.
It's to strengthen the union and put it in a better direction. So why would we not follow their six? If our international and our district council is doing it, our local should be doing it.
Mr. Reed, not to cut you off, I'm going to run down the line, but they didn't want you to have the credit of saying something that made sense. They didn't want you to have that credit. So they discredited, but they came back to give themselves credit, but they only gave it to the general laborers. And that's not right. So, Mr. Reed, hang with us for like 10 more minutes. I'm going to run up and down the board because I know everybody want to say something. And I appreciate you on your off day on a weekend to come and talk to us. That's something that James Ellis would never do. So I appreciate it.
I'm going to do anything for the members. I'm going to do anything for members and retirees.
569, you want to say anything? Dan.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. What you guys are saying is absolutely right. And to get a suspension for low production means the leadership is not going to represent you at a hearing, because if they represented you in a hearing, there would never be a hearing. These coordinators and superintendents would never write that up, because they know there's no such thing as production quotas in a contract. But yet our union leadership is letting this happen. Time and time again, it's been on a slow decline since Will Irving. I remember when Will Irving in 07, I started going to meetings with him and Lou Phillips. It's since 2007, this job has gone downhill really, really fast. I blame them personally, and I will work as long as I'm in Chicago against guys like Bob Gianelli, Will Irving, and now Victor Roa, guys like that. And to comment, Paul, on your pension retiree, we have a retiree on the board now. There's one elected official that's a retiree. His name is James Capasso.
Jim Capasso.
He's collecting three pensions, three of them. And the union, there was an election, I believe it was about a year ago, union never sent out notices to anyone. They claim they sent out notices about this election. So he got in there. He's not going to work in the best interest of the members. He's getting three pensions. Also, an elected member, Chuck Loverty, is getting three pensions. An inside source told me this. So these guys are not in the best interest. Even if they vote against the city, we need someone in there that's just getting one pension, their city pension, that has skin in the game. These guys are getting taken care of whether they win or lose. It has to be winner take all. You can't get taken care of when you lose. And these guys are set up to lose. When you're collecting three pensions, you're set up to lose, and you don't care if you lose. So I just want to advise you on that. And Reggie, I got to go in about 10 minutes. I have a meeting about election fraud. And just FYI for you guys, the county will be getting all new election machines in the next election. I believe it's for the 19 election, or if there's one in 18.
Before you leave, the old machines were hackable.
Yeah.
Hey, before you leave, because I know you're in a rush, and you know what? You're always moving around. Give Paul an idea of some of the election machines you've been dealing with and some of the election fraud you've been dealing with, and an idea of when we have our election, the machines we should use.
Well
right.
I can answer.
Go ahead.
Sir, you don't mind me talking on this, do you, Dan? I mean, because I've done my homework with this in regards with our legal advisors. I think we definitely need to have a hard ballot that's fed into a machine that you connect an arrow for the simple reason, even after the fact, when it's all said and done, we still have, God forbid the computer has a glitch, if the computer fries, goes out, it's an electronic component. Anything can go wrong, and it's been proven things can be hacked. So with a hard ballot, that's something you connect the arrow, you feed into the machine, and then it tabulates all these votes. Even if we had to go to the old system and count it ballot by ballot, that is the most honest system that there is. Am I right or am I wrong, Dan?
I totally agree. And these current Cook County machines can be hacked. The ones the unions are using can be hacked because I voted on them last time for the delegates. They're definitely hackable. They're the same things. The county's going to put out a bid. It's going to be about a $50 million bid to change these machines. New machines, real quick. You'll vote on a screen, but after you vote, it will spit out your paper ballot, and you will deposit that paper ballot in the optical scanner with the rest of the paper ballots. So there will be paper. It'll be on paper. So there's a little more transparency. Now, we're vetting these companies, and, you know, I'm sure some of them are connected, but we have to this is what I'm going to a meeting for. So it's kind of boring stuff. But I'd rather talk about the union anyhow.
Well, this is definitely just as important as the union, Dan, for the simple reason, again, the Teamsters, they basically went to the same type of ballot where you had to connect the arrow, you had to feed it in, and now you are totally correct. Not only did it tabulate it, it also put it on a piece of paper that continued the roll, showing, you know, what was voted on and how many times things were voted. Again, you're definitely right. This is something our members, they're taking their time to come out and vote for who's in their best interest. So again, we can't allow someone to steal an election. You know what? You earn elections. You earn elections by the way of fighting for the members.
You know what? I want to say one thing. Thank you, Dan, for showing up, and I appreciate you. This has been an emergency show because we all was upset about some of the taxes of 1001. Dan, you are a role model. You are a pioneer. Thank you. Handle the business, what you do, and report back Monday. Monday we will be on the air. So if it's anything you want to say before you leave, Dan, give me one or two minutes and then say whatever you want to say.
Okay. Can someone call the international to see if this kind of special meeting is allowed? So we could nip it in the bud before they turn people away.
And Dan, at any point in time, a special meeting can be called to order, okay? But that special meeting has to allow all members, not selective,
right. That's what I mean.
Members.
Well,
I mean,
the international
have
to say that?
I don't believe anybody has made a call on it or anybody has brought them up on charges or even contacted the international or the district council. Again, my advice is go there, get turned away. At that point in time, they're violating their fiduciary duties by not allowing you to attend or take part in anything while they're in normal business hours. This is being conducted in normal business hours. Am I correct?
I believe so.
Correct. The union don't close till 5 o'clock. Is unless the hours have changed. I know Monday.
I used to work there.
Monday they have a shorter one-hour day. So by you going to this local, you cannot, as long as you're in good standings, you cannot be turned away. I advise every single member to go there. Take part of it, okay? Let's put 2,000 members in that hall. Will 2,000 members fit in that hall?
now they spent $20,000 per room. So they have the back of the building got four offices now. They have a conference room that I say maybe hold 50 people. If we get 100, I say have the 100 people there, and then somebody let the media know what's going on. That's, and I'm an e-board member. Now, the all comes to the worst, you guys will not be allowed in, but I will, because they can't stop me unless they're going to arrest me and take me out in handcuffs. But think about this. You get general labors, and you say you want to have a private two-day meeting with them? This is a conference. This is a voting electoral thing they doing. So we have to stop it. So I know, Dan, you got to run. Thank you, Dan, for showing up, and we appreciate you, Dan. If there's anything you want to say on your way out, you're more welcome. 516, I know you really want to say something. 671, Mike Funches, I know you want to say something. So, Dan, I know you're on the way out. Anything you want to say before we let you go, and then we just going to go up and down with the rest of the people.
Can I ask one question?
Go ahead.
Dan, would you be willing to take part in this election as an election judge?
When is the election? Yeah,
it'll
sure,
be in June. The nominations will be in May. I know you're good. I know you are in good standings. I know you're someone I would trust. Again, you know, because again, the last election judges got paid $1,700 to work. So I'm sure as a retiree, you could use a few dollars, seeing that, you know, you now have to pay your own health insurance with an outside source. So I mean, I would like to see our retirees come in and be the election judges in this election. I think that's the motion we need to make.
And yes, I can do that. I would feel guilty of taking $1,700.
No, Dan, you deserve it. You deserve
no,
it. And I'm going to tell you one thing, Dan. I'm on the e-board, and I would make a motion for it. I'm going to tell you something, Dan. Think about this. Every person for the last 8 years have been election judges. We need to change the election judges. And it's not about opinion. It's about being fair. So I would second the motion it within a second. But just hold that thought and don't say no, but just think about it.
No, I want to do it, but I couldn't take that kind of money. That's excessive pay coming out of the members' pockets. That's for sure.
Well, Dan, you can donate
it.
You can always donate it back to a retiree or somebody. Or you can even just defer taking it. That's your option.
Okay.
But I'm asking you as a member today to protect our future of tomorrow. If you would please take part and come forward, I feel you would have the best interest of the members. And I would never think for one second.
Yeah, sure, I can do it. I'd be glad to do it.
And you know what?
Thank you,
and
sir.
You know what, Dan? I'm going to say this real quick. One day you were telling me about derivatives and how the market work on stocks and how people are losing their money on phony stocks. And I looked at you in your face, and I was saying to myself, this guy is smart as hell. You know when somebody getting shafted. And I respect you, Dan. All we asking you is help us. Help others. That's all we ask.
Will do. All right, I'll see you guys Monday.
Right. Have a safe weekend,
hey,
sir.
All right, Dan, see you Monday. Same time, same place. So if anybody would like to say anything, they're more welcome to say it. We did an hour and 12 minutes. This show was to bring up the general labors and to promote Paul Reed for business manager. So I'm going to burn a lot of these CDs, and I'm going to hand them out. Paul Reed for business manager, and we got to get somebody to change our atmosphere. So if anybody like to say anything, I'll give everybody like 2 or 3 minutes to close us out because we've been here an hour. We'll go to 671. That's Mike Funches. He's running for president. He's a, I believe he'll be a beautiful president because he'll have the job of telling us when the meetings are and setting the meetings, not on overtime day. So 671, then we go to 516, and then we go to Mr. Reed to close us out.
Oh, okay. Hello. Thank you, Reg. You know what? This is exactly why I stand with Mr. Paul Reed as business manager for our new local, because the underhanded stuff that the current administration is doing right now, trying to hold a private meeting for 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, at 3:30 each, just for general laborers only. Now, ain't that kind of strange? This should raise awareness to everyone involved in this local about how they gonna hold a separate meeting just for the general laborers only when we all belong to the same union. And as a matter of fact, and this is not the undercut the general laborers, but we pay more union dues than they do. So how can they hold this private meeting just for them and not for us?
Oh, man. I totally agree. And 671, hang around. We're going to have 516, and then we're going to have Paul Reed to close us out. But if there's anything you want to say on the way out the door, I allow it. So 516, everybody, mic is high. 516.
Well, I try to remember all of them. Three things. One is we should get there and outnumber the junior laborers so they can't get in. That's one. Two is that I lost my train of thought, babe. Now, two, I'm going back to the RCCs. RCCs is 1001 laborers also, aren't they? They still in the union also, right?
Yes,
somebody
they
help
are.
Me out. Okay, well, how are they writing us up?
It's a conflict of interest.
That's another issue. And three, you know, it just said, like you said, we should show up anyway, and maybe we should just go live and show the members that this is what they're doing to us. Why is it so secretive that we can't come in? So this should be shown to the rest of the members, but it's just sad that a lot of them is they see it, and it's like, well, as long as it don't affect me, it's okay. But they don't realize it will affect them later. And the junior laborers should look at it like, okay, if they're screwing the laborers now, what are they going to do to us when they through with us? So that's just my point. Everybody have a good night. Stay focused. It's a lot going on. Stress. Like I say, we're finding bodies in the garbage can. These guys didn't even get no counseling. So this is the stuff we go through, and they talking about cutting pay and privatizing. We go through a hell of a lot out there, y'all. And these regular laborers, they just need to understand that there's a lot at stake here. So that's my point, y'all. Hope I didn't
say. You know what? I'm gonna say this. I was very shocked. The two guys that found that dead body came back the next day. I was very shocked because when I throw away a rat or a possum, I get scared. So that's me. I'm going to let Paul Reed close us out, and then I'm going to have the closing remark behind Paul Reed. I want to say thank you to everybody because this was a special meeting because we got to find a way to stop the BS of 1001. So, Paul Reed, I'm going to let you close us out, and I'm going to say our goodbyes on the way out the door. If anybody want to call me, you got my number. Call me on my hard line. Go ahead, Paul Reed.
First of all, I like to say one for all for one. There's no segregating members. That's what we have to remember, first of all. Second of all, if we do not allow them to divide us, they cannot conquer us. So, again, we want to embrace the general labor. We want to show him what we can fight for, not only for him, but ourselves. Again, this is the way we're going to do this. We're going to educate everybody, not somebody. This is the movement. I urge everybody to go to the United States website. Please sign up. Please leave if you have any type of reviews, any type of questions, and I asked everybody to at least reach out to 10 members. Just reach out to 10 members, tell them to take part in this talk show because it's the best thing in their interest. This is their future. They need to take part in this today, not tomorrow. And I thank you for allowing me to come on the show. I thank for the members bringing questions. I love answering questions. I'll never hide from any member. I'll answer everything to the best of my ability, and I will fight till my last breath for the members.
And, you know, on that mark, we're going to leave the show, and I'm going to say to everybody, thank you for calling. It was an emergency show, and I understand how everybody feel. I got to play my Revolution song on the way out the door, and I want to say one thing, Cal. Everybody, we all been through something, but we got to get a business manager that we can trust, and I trust Paul Reed. So on that note, if anybody want to say anything, say it now, or I'm going to play the Revolution song.
Hey, Reggie.
Yeah.
Hey, Reggie, don't. Hey, play the other one.
Which one?
If not now, then when?
All right.
Anyway,
I got it down
you can play
that
next week. You can play that Monday. Play that Monday. Good night, man.
Hey, call me. But now we're going off the air. And hold on.
All right.
Somebody just jumped on and want to say something. And even though I was going to cut off, I'm going to allow this person to say anything they want to say, even though he's late as hell. 749, welcome to the show. You late, and we're on our way out the door. What would you like to say?
Hey, you know what? I'm sorry I'm so late. This is OC, a.k.a. Allie Lawyer, calling in. Also, district, also delegate to district council through United States. I'm telling everybody to make sure they go to our website, go to our Facebook page. Try to enjoy yourself. Try to leave a couple of comments. I know a lot of general laborers are coming up, and they're really mad about what's going on. Hey, I'm just telling you right now, general laborers out there who's listening to my voice, listening to me on Ratchet Camper Show, we telling you, push United Slater in that box. We got your back. Sorry to hear what's happening to you guys. That's all I can tell you, baby.
Hey, no, you know what? I'm jealous. It's 7:20. I got some time, but give me 5 minutes. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to hang up. OC is the best radio host next to me, and sometimes I think he's better than me. OC is a very good host on a radio show. He has the voice, and he has the impact, as intelligence. I respect him. I think Paul Reed did a very good choice of selecting him, and I think OC is going to be a very good selection to Ten O'Warren if you put him in office. I support him 150%. And OC, you always have a spot with me on the radio show. You always gonna be my brother, and I love you. And I think you are a very intellect person. So on that note, if anybody wanna say anything, and then we'll close out.
Well, Reggie, I'll help you close out, my brother. Hey, guys, I want to thank everybody for listening to Rational Capital Show. I want to thank Paul Reed, especially, for allowing me to have the honor to run with him on United Slate. Reggie, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to teach me and tell me the things I learned and things I have to understand. If it wasn't for you saying, the only way you could educate yourself on this union is to read the material, read the Constitution, read the bylaws, I wouldn't be where I am right now. And I want to thank you so much, Reggie, for giving me the opportunity to learn from you and understand how things work. And like I said, man, I look forward to election time. I look forward to United States kicking ass like I know we're going to do. So, hey, ladies and gentlemen, good night. Thank you for listening to Mr. Kappa Show, and we out.
And Paul Reed, thank you for attending. This is an emergency show because you see what they're trying to do. So thank you for showing up. It's nothing like a good business manager that's willing to take out his time to show up. I appreciate you. So if there's anything you want to say before I close out.
Well, Bridge,
it comes back again to you. You helped educate a member. And again, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Always do a favor, never looking for a favor in return. And I got to thank you again. By you educate members, by us looking forward to educating members, we will have the betterment of all the members in the future of this local.
I appreciate you very much, Paul Reed. And I want to say one thing. This song is something that Pasquale gave to me.
Don't
and
you
I want
know,
everybody to think about Pasquale because right now he's a little sick right now. And my heart and my soul go out
don't
for Pasquale.
You know,
so
talking about
after this, I'll see you guys Monday. And if you want to hang up, you can. Because after this, I'm a lockdown. I'll see you guys Monday.
Crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation. Wasting time in the unemployment line. Sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know? Talking about a revolution sound. Who are people gonna rise up and get their share? People gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution. Wasting time in the unemployment line. Sitting around waiting for